We've begun a new series called The Hard Sayings of Jesus, and often in our society and culture, we think of Jesus' words often as be a good person and do unto others, right, as you like for them to do unto you, and even as people of faith and longtime Christ followers, sometimes the sting and the force of Jesus' teaching and words sometimes falls on deaf ears. We become over-familiar in a way. And so we are taking a few weeks to pause and really listen to some of these words that often we are so familiar with and we even share but may not realize often the full impact. And the challenge that we gave at the beginning of the series is, how do we not only receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in our lives, but how do we allow his ministry, his person, his authority, his teaching to shape us as disciples, as our teacher, as our, to use a Jewish term, as our rabbi. And that is really where the rubber meets the road. That's where we begin to really live out a genuine faith. And so today, we're going to look at a very, very familiar one in Matthew 6 from the Lord's Prayer itself. And I've titled this morning's message, Don't Lead Us Into Temptation. And so let me just go ahead and read that for us. And many of you know this from memory, and it's not something that is unfamiliar for a lot of us, but Jesus said, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in particular, we want to focus our attention on one of the final phrases that Jesus gives when asked, how do you pray? How shall we pray? And so Jesus gives us a series of petitions. The first half focusing on our relationship to God, and then second half focusing on our daily needs that God does supply and takes care of his children. But this phrase we want to look at, and lead us not into temptation, is something that all of us have recited and are quite familiar with. We pray it, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And it's one of those phrases that we become so overfamiliar that it doesn't often raise eyebrows as it should, which begs the question, why does Jesus pray this? And then first glance, we kind of, well, of course it's obvious that we don't want to be led into temptation, but the way in which Jesus phrases this teaching begs the question then, why should we ask God not to lead us into temptation? In other words, then, by default, is the premise that sometimes God does lead us into times and opportunities and situations that we are tempted. And so we often say, the devil made me do it. But in one sense, when we look at this, and Jesus is teaching us to pray to God the Father, Father, please don't lead us into temptation, can we rightfully then say, not just the devil made me do it, but God made me do it? If he is sovereign and orchestrates everything of my life, and I commit a sin or do something displeasing or hurtful to him or to others, is then it not God's fault. So do you see why there's a dilemma here, in a sense, that Jesus prays to the Father, and he teaches us, oh, Father, please do not lead us into temptation, as if that is possibly a regular MO of God the Father. And so this is a hard teaching. It's a confusing teaching that we, because it's in the Lord's Prayer captured for us, we become so familiar with. And yet, how do we make sense out of this? Well, just there's so many scriptures, and once again, we're going to have a little Bible study this morning. We find this word tempted, right? Jesus was led by the Spirit, Matthew 4:1, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, the evil one. So here we have the great temptation of Jesus. And not only at the very beginning of his public ministry, but towards the end of his ministry, as if you remember Matthew 26, where they're in the garden in Gethsemane with his closest disciples, and he, Jesus, knows what awaits him, the cross. We call that his passion, his suffering. And then he checks up on them. They're sleeping. And what does he say? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here lies in some of the confusion and why this is a difficult saying that we need to pause and really ask, what is Jesus really teaching us? And does God really lead us into temptation so that we have to pray, Lord, please don't lead us into temptation? We see Jesus himself tempted by the devil, and even his closest disciples that he prays that they don't enter into temptation. So what is going on here? Well, first of all, we begin with the very important premise and truth that, first of all, God does not tempt us to sin or for us to do evil. And this is very important for us to understand, and then this may raise more questions than what is Jesus actually teaching us in the Lord's Prayer when we are to pray, lead us not into temptation. But let's get this straight. God does not tempt us to sin or tempt us to do evil. And so you cannot say, God, why did you allow this to happen and I fell into temptation and sin? I guess it would be more accurate to say the devil made me do it than to blame God, but oftentimes, we do blame God. Oftentimes, he gets the short end of the stick, and we, in our anger and frustration, actually make God the author of our mess, of our shame, of our poor choices, of our temptation. But here we go, James 1, that many of you have studied or read. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. More questions. Lead us not into temptation. Jesus was led, we know, by the Spirit, third person of the Trinity, into the desert to be tempted. And yet here we have it very clearly that God tempts no one. What? Now I'm confusing us even more. What is going on here? Does God tempt us? And yet at the same time, we see temptation happening to Jesus himself, though he's not tempted by evil, and even his closest followers are prayed for by Jesus not to fall into temptation. And for those that have studied this prior, or especially have gone through the book of James, what helps tremendously is a reminder that what we have just read is God's word, but it's an English translation of God's word written in the New Testament here in the Greek. And so that's really important, because secondly, and this will help you, the word translated temptation, perosmos, can indicate either temptation or testing. That is really, really important, because the way it's translated here, temptation, especially when we look at Jesus' temptation in the wilderness prior to his public ministry, what the disciples went through, what Jesus prays, the word can be translated either temptation, as we think of it, to sin, or a test. That, I believe, is one of the helpful keys to understand this passage and this saying. The word for temptation in the Greek appears 21 times in the New Testament, and 20 out of those 21 times it is translated and refers to the word test or trial of one's faith. So the vast majority of the time it's about a trial, it's about a test, rather than we universally think of temptation as this temptation to evil and enticement and sin, and that is real. And James just hit that for us. Today's message is not going in depth in that. And so we want to acknowledge that there is that as well, but we're trying to focus on the Lord's Prayer and its use that Jesus gives to us. Temptation means much more than just temptation as we often think about it, temptation to evil, to sin, to compromise, but also in the vast majority of the times we find the word temptation, it's in the sense of testing, trials. Now you can begin to understand and reconcile this almost seeming contradiction that God leads us into temptation, and yet James reminds that he doesn't tempt anyone. Is that a contradiction of Scripture? But when we begin to understand that there are different ways to understand this word, it begins to make sense. James 1, 2 through 4, as we think about James, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials, the same word, but here trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And this is both good news and bad news, depending on how you look at it. And number three, we will be tested in our faith. And to use the word that Jesus uses, we will go through temptation. And in this case, we're trying to understand it in the sense of test or trial. All of us will experience the challenges of life. Life is hard. But as a child of God, a Christ follower, you will be undergoing, in particular, trials throughout your life that God does intentionally send. Though we don't like it, We don't understand it. We don't want it in our flesh, but you will go through it. 1 Peter 4:12 reminds us that the beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Genesis 22:1, going back all the way to the call of Father Abraham. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And we know what God asked of him, to sacrifice his only son of promise. It's interesting that in the KJV, King James Version of this, it's translated like this, Genesis 22:1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. It's translated tempted Abraham. The ASV, American Standard Version, says this, and it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. To prove, to test, to tempt, all convey that similar meaning that I believe is important as we think about what exactly is Jesus teaching us what to pray for in our lives. And all believers should never be surprised by the fiery trials, the testing, or the temptations that we go through daily, moment by moment in our lives. Some of you sitting here are weighed down by the fiery trial that you are undergoing. We are not to be surprised by it. Isn't it interesting? The KJV, God did tempt Abraham. And we know that as we have looked at scripture in the past, that this testing, this temptation, this trial, this proving of our faith is absolutely necessary in order for us to be strengthened. For faith is purified, it's strengthened, it matures through pain, through conflict, through our wounds, and through the challenges of our daily lives. The strengthening and proving of our faith leads to Christ-like character. And God is putting us in that, putting you in it, in order to see the fruits of the Spirit of Christ formed in you. There is no other way. There are no shortcuts when it comes to spiritual growth and maturity and this perfection, this wholeness of our faith. Excuse me. So, when Jesus prayed this prayer, lead us not into temptation, putting all these things together thus far, he is not necessarily saying, Lord, please never test my faith. Some of us could use a little bit less weight in our life and burden and what we carry. And we, Lord, could it be an optional thing right now? I have so much that I'm dealing with. And so it can't mean that, because every child of God will go through trial, testing, temptation, in order to have one's faith tested, stretched, and grown. It cannot be that, because that would be a contradiction that we would find in Scripture. And so, Bible teacher F.F. Bruce poses this question that I'm going to share with you as we think about this hard saying, lead us not into temptation. Is God asked to deliver his children from evil by, one, preserving them from temptation, or secondly, by preserving them in temptation. Do you see the difference there? Is Jesus teaching us in this prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, preserve me from temptation, or preserve me in the midst of temptation? And F.F. Bruce says, it certainly seems like it's the latter of the two. And so very practically, if we are beginning to put some of these threads together, fourthly, we pray for God's strength in times of temptation. In times where we find ourselves being tested, where we know our faith is not that strong, and we're humbled as we think about what Jesus has entrusted you and I with, our families, our children, our grandchildren, our jobs, our ministries. He's entrusted so much to you and I. And because we will undergo times of testing or temptation, when we find ourselves in the midst of it, we must always have an humble estimate of ourselves. And it is a growing journey, is it not? Remember the sons of Zebedee, this James and John, which, wow, those are the name of my two boys. How did that work out? Wow. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Could you imagine going up to Jesus and saying this? Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. Arrogant punks. Now, we're not that much different, right? We think we're so strong. And yet, Mark 14, and he came and found them sleeping. And he said to them, Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus checks up on them and says, keep awake. Pray that during this time of fiery trial that you do not fail in this test. The supreme test was at hand. The master was about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. And yet, they did fail. They could not stay alert and awake to be with Jesus. They failed this test, though, praise God, Jesus did not. Hallelujah. They failed at the moment of this testing, this temptation, this crisis. And so as we begin to think about, then what is Jesus trying to teach us? And thinking especially how F.F. Bruce is trying to help us understand a reframing of understanding temptation as trial, testing. Lord, grant that I may not fail in the test. Or he puts it, grant that the test may not prove too severe for our faith to sustain. He says and goes on this, is that the right one? Yes, to those who know that their faith is no more reliable than that of Peter, James, and John, may well pray to be saved from a trial with which their faith cannot cope, or if the trial is inescapable, to be supplied with the heavenly grace necessary to endure it. Grant, and I love this, may this sear into our hearts this morning, grant that we may not fail in the test. When I first came across this, that just helped me understand Jesus' teaching and the Lord's Prayer in a whole new way, because we know that we need to have a humble estimate of ourselves and our faith is not that strong. Lord, lead us not into that kind of temptation, because I know that I could fail. My faith is not that strong. But if I find myself being tested in a way that I just cannot handle it in my own strength and flesh, grant your strength to me that I can pass the test. That, I think, captures the essence of what Jesus is trying to communicate to us. May our faith, may my faith stand firm in the time of trial. Lord, strengthen me and my family. Save me when I go through trials that are beyond me. I need your power, your hope, your grace. And so we pray, Lord, because we are so weak and I am so weak, lead me not into that kind of situation where my faith may fail, just like these disciples. But if I do find myself in it, God, strengthen me with your strengthening power, for I am weak and I desperately need it, Jesus. Pastor Kent Hughes says this, and I thought this is so helpful in my studies. I wanted to share. Proper prayer regarding temptation is not that we be delivered from all temptation, for facing and overcoming it is necessary for the health of our souls. But proper prayer does ask God to deliver us from overpowering temptations, recognizing that we are weak and liable to fold under severe testing. And so with this helpful, I hope and pray, understanding, expanding on this definition of temptation is, yes, there are times we are tempted, as James 1 talks about, enticed to sin and to evil, but God does not do that. And so as Jesus prays for us and teaches us to pray, Lord, my faith is not that strong. Keep me from those times where my faith may fail. Lead me not in that situation. But if I find myself in it, oh, may your grace and may your strength be poured in, for I so desperately need it. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in that well-quoted, memorized, beloved verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you or seized you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Let me close out with a rephrasing in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Once again, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but I like to end with this because this puts it in a very relatable and understandable way. No test or temptation, wow, he got it, he captured both meanings, that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Isn't that helpful paraphrase to bring in a little more common language our understanding that we will be tested and we need to have a humble estimate of ourselves that we're not that strong. And so we pray, Lord, my faith is weak. I don't want to fail in the test. But if it comes, strengthen me with your power and grace, because you understand, you have been through it. And through the ministry of your Spirit, your word, and God's people, we can make it through those trials and those temptations. Don't be shy about banging on heaven's door as you find yourselves a bit overwhelmed with life's trials that God has allowed into your life. May you know that he is refining you, growing you, maturing you. And in the midst of that, we can then bring glory to God. I hope that this was helpful as we took time to unpack a very familiar phrase of the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, lead us not into temptation." Let's pray together. And I'm just going to read that paraphrase again as you listen and pray us out as we continue in our worship. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He always will be there to help you come through it. Father, temptation is real. Both the temptation in this world and our own evil desires and Satan is real, and we often struggle with temptation to evil and to sin and compromise, and we need your help in that, yes. And as your children, Father, we are often invited to situations and relationships and seasons in our lives that sometimes, Lord, is just too much. And help us to always realize that we aren't that strong. Thank you that you remind us in so many ways. You expose our brokenness and our weakness and our little faith. And so, God, we do pray, lead us not into temptation, because we know that we are weak. Yet at the same time, when we find ourselves in those trials and testing of our faith, we thank you that there is meaning and that there is purpose and there is a redemption that is at hand just around the corner that we really pin our heart's hope on. And so for all my friends, my brothers and sisters, I pray, Father, that we would stop trying to carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders, but help us, Father, to pause, to be strengthened by your power and grace. And may we experience the strengthening presence of your Spirit to help us through this time of trial and testing. Infuse us with the hope that we are never abandoned and the testing will never be something that will ultimately destroy us. And so we give you thanks. We surrender our lives and our loved ones and our children and all the situations that sometimes bring such heartache. We thank you that we can say, Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Thank you that you are always there to help us come through. We pray these things in the mighty, merciful, and compassionate name of Jesus. Amen.